technology. Oh boy. Let's pray. Father God, your word is always powerful. It is your word. It is your sacred word. And the more we delve into it, and the deeper it gets embedded in our life, the more we know that it is your word. It defines power. You are a great and awesome God. You are the God of loving kindness, of judgment, and of righteousness. And we have been so foolish in our lives to underestimate you, to treat you as average, when you are a holy God, different to everything else we can ever imagine. And in all of that, your love is so great that you draw us close to you. And you have provided for us salvation. And so it is our aim, Lord God, as we open your word, to draw close to you, somehow to draw close to you. And so for every barrier that might come, that Satan might lift up, we smash it in the name of Jesus. We want to be released into your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. The 70 weeks prophecy. And my little clicker is not having fun. Good. Was that you or me?
That was me.
Okay, I'll try going back. Oh, yeah. So that's me now. Okay, that's good. Okay. Right, so much has been written about this prophecy. And it is an awesome prophecy. And I just don't know how to actually present it. But we'll give it a go. Okay? Now, while I was speaking, this is Daniel, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. God's angel was already in action while Daniel was praying. Matthew 6, for your God knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He's watching. He's the parent. He knows your needs. So, why do you ask? Because our Father wants a relationship. When we pray from our heart, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that is proof of a relationship. Oh my gosh. So many times I prayed that at Christchurch when I was a boy there and a teacher there. We went through the Lord's Prayer and it just didn't get into my brain. Thy kingdom come. To pray thy kingdom come, it's not my kingdom. To pray thy will be done, it's not my will. And so often when we come in prayer before God, it is my will be done. Lord, I want this, 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 this. But when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, thy kingdom come. Surrender. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. My flesh is so strong that I want my will to be done. Notice how Daniel's prayer includes confession. What takes precedence in our prayer? Complaints or confession? Humility is so essential when we approach a holy God, aware of our unworthiness. In Isaiah, God says, on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. The word for contrite, nake. It is used only three times in the Bible, and two of the times is in 2 Samuel, and it's translated lame. If you remember the story, Mephibosheth was dropped when his nurse finds out that Abner has been killed, and Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan, but because they were related to Saul, the nurse trembles and is in great fear because David has taken over the kingship and the kingdom. And she runs and she drops him, and he's 5 years old. And it means stricken or smitten. So on this one I will look. On him who is poor and of a smitten, stricken spirit. And who trembles at my word. There is no room for arrogance when we come to God. Notice too that Daniel prays for Israel. Now Daniel was a person of huge authority. We have varying degrees of authority and areas of influence in places which God has deliberately positioned us. In our family, in our nation, our state, our neighbourhood, our shire, our church, our club, our occupation, marriage, family. And we must not only seek to be God's voice, but also realise that we've been positioned there to steer it for God. You are positioned in that place to steer it for God. We are partly responsible for the sins of the community that we live in. We need to confess the sins of the community. This is Daniel, and he confesses the sins of my people Israel. Daniel intercedes for Jerusalem, the holy mountain, despite it deserving the judgment of God. You know, we stand as Christian Australians. We cannot intercede for Australia if we do nothing. But if we are active in battle against the sins of the country, we have authority to intercede. The sons of Sceva failed to cast out demons because they had no authority. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of their house naked and wounded. Authority comes out of our relationship and our willingness to suffer for Jesus. Exousia, the Greek word for authority, means out of being. Ex is out of, ousia is the verb to be. Out of who you are, out of who you are. You visit a house where there's a 5-year-old, and you go to sit down, and she says, "No, that's Dad's chair." You sit there. That kid, 5 years old, has authority because she knows that's Daddy's chair. Dad sits there, sits somewhere else anyway, but not there. That's Dad's chair. That's authority, out of being. Out of who you are, you have authority. If you're at a smoking ceremony, bind every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then Gabriel flies to him. He has previously met Gabe in the reign of Belshazzar. Chapter 8, in the 3rd year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. To me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me in the first time, I saw the vision. In verse 16, I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euphrates, who called and said, "Gabriel, make this man understand the vision." So Daniel had met Gabe before. Notice too that Gabriel is not restricted by time. He hurries to Daniel, coming to Daniel on a deliberate mission at the time of the evening offering. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So angels are not necessarily instantaneous. In Daniel 10, the angel messenger was hindered in battle for 3 weeks, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. 3 weeks, Daniel had prayed, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. He thought, but there was battle going on. There was battle going on. We must realise that there is a huge spiritual war in progress, and the war is ramping up. The more aggressive you become for the kingdom of God, the more you will be targeted. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you are a target. You are a target. And the example of the men in Ukraine is there for us to learn and see. They are willing to stand and fight. The timing was important. It was the time Daniel remembered that he would have seen the smoke rising from the temple. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh Daniel, I've now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. The angel is sent by God to help the man understand." We need that touch, people. We need the touch. We need the touch of the Holy Spirit to understand. To dive to understand. Only the Holy Spirit grabs the thing of God in your heart. And only the Holy Spirit knows the guts in your heart, the batterings and all of that, and he ties it together. Ties it together. So you can have the same truth, but dive deeper and deeper and deeper. May 1959, 2 days after my mum's birthday, I went to the Billy Graham Crusade and I went forward. And I learned about the love of God. But my goodness, 63 years later, it is deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The angel is sent by God to help the man understand. We have the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Jesus is our friend and reveals the depth of the person of God to us. Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." You'll never have chosen me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. What do you have to do? You've got to go and bear fruit. People, there are mustard seeds you can drop along the way. You can drop the words like, "I'll pray for you," or "God bless you." You can drop the words like "church." You can drop those words amongst the unsaved. "I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." When you pray, "Thy will be done." That's it. The supplication was answered. Not all our prayers are answered the way we want. We often pray for fleshly answers. That is what Jesus seeks to correct when he teaches us to pray. "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." The study of the Word of God cannot be effective without prayer. People can go to college, study the grammar, study the Greek, study the Hebrew, read the commentaries and still miss it. In Job 28:28, tells us that unless we've departed from evil, we never understood. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Did you get that from the other verse? "On this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And unless we've departed from evil, we have never understood. You can't come out of a sermon on Sunday and say, "That was terrific," and on Monday made no difference. Then it was nothing. It was nothing at all. To depart from evil is understanding. You've got to change. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Warfare will guard your hearts and minds by our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father wants us to bring our supplications to him. As we bring our request to God, warfare happens. In the process of prayer, our hearts and minds are sharpened to the seduction of the enemy, so that we are guarded. We pray for that alertness, people. We pray for that alertness that we will see the attack of the enemy. We don't want a fleshly answer to prayer. Lord, take away the floods in Queensland. We want people saved. The judgment of God has come. We want people saved. Don't be deluded into thinking that you will be ignored. Jesus became a man so that he can understand our battles. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What a privilege we have. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Firstly, we note that the word for weeks is the same word for sevens. The numbers 70 and 7 are important in the Bible. 70 was the expected lifespan of a person. The days of our lives are 70 years, 70. It expressed completeness. The Lord appointed 70 others also. In Genesis, all the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. 8 was the number of the resurrection. So you had the notes of the piano. Every octave comes back there, comes back to the same note except higher. Half the frequency, double the frequency if you're going up. Yeah, double the frequency. Yes. In Leviticus 25:8, you have, of course, the sevens in Revelation, isn't it? Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls of wrath. You have sevens. In Leviticus 25, we have this amazing passage. After 7 times 7, 49 years, comes the year of the Jubilee. This was when slaves were freed and the land and possessions returned to their original owners. Now, when we read this passage, it is probably the most ridiculous thing in the Bible I've read, my flesh says. And lots of Jews thought it was ridiculous and they tried to avoid it, but there were some who stood firm. Can you imagine this? And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourselves, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possessions and each of you shall return to his land. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee to you. And in it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. So they left the land barren. They had no produce. They were eating what was just there, left over. And every business mind would say, we can't do this. We're going really well. We just have to sow the crops and continue. What are we going to eat them? What are we going to live on? And somewhere, someone would say, we're just going to have to rely on God's provision. Wow.
People, we live in a materialistic world. I'm materialistic.
This community is materialistic. We want to have enough. The government says, don't panic buy. But you think, that's a good rule for everybody else. But if there's two things there and I want one of them, I'm going to get it, even if I don't need it yet. We're materialistic. God says, now on the 50th year,
if you got a slave that you bought, you free them.
If you got this land, you return it to the owners. If you got these possessions, you return it. You return it. You return it. The Shemitah is the seventh year, and it is the conclusion of the seventh year. We began the seventh year, September last year. We are in the year of the Shemitah, the seventh year. And if you read about the Shemitah, Jonathan Carr has written about it and other people have written about it. It is kind of 80% or 90% the fall of the stock exchange happened at the end. The last month is the month of Elul. It's 29 days and there's a crash in the Shemitah. And Tishri begins the next month. The Jewish calendar is different from the Roman calendar. The Jewish calendar is on a lunar year. So there are 12 or 13 months in that lunar year. Okay, so ranging from 350-something to 381, 2, 3, something like that. And they stick in an extra month every, I think, 5 times out of 19 years or 7 times out of 19 years, they stick in an extra month. So yeah, it's a bit tricky there, but around about the September, August, September, October, not usually August, September, October, is the Shemitah, the critical time. And we read in Daniel that there is a punishment because they had not kept the Sabbath. They hadn't kept the Sabbath year. They had ignored it. And God says, no, no. 70 years and you come back, and then 490 years, yep, come back, 483 plus the 7, yeah, come back. Because my command was that you rely on me. You rely on me. People, do you see how hard that is? Because all of our materialistic brain says, I rely on me. I've got savings saved up. I've got money in here. I've got this thing provided. I've got food in the cupboard. All of that, I rely on me. And God is saying, no, I've triggered it so that you rely on me. Because relationship is there. Relationship is the desperately important thing. The year of the Jubilee, it is an amazing command. And you spent money on that slave. You spent money on those possessions. You bought that block next door to you and all of that. And the year of Jubilee, no, goes back to the owner. Back. The price actually decreased as the Jubilee came closer and closer. So when seven sevens led to a Jubilee, 70 sevens was the ultimate Jubilee. This was to be a celebration of seven things when Jesus comes to reign on the earth. There are lessons for us today. The first thing, and we'll finish with these, to finish the transgression. Sadly today, if repentance does not happen, there is no other way to stop transgression than for judgment to come. These three things I delight in: loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And we ignore the judgment. What is happening to the world today? There is huge judgment that is happening. What's happening to Australia? Judgment. What's happening to you and me? Judgment. This is a very unpopular message for the God haters and even for some people in church. And this signifies the end of man's rebellion when Jesus comes to reign. Secondly, to make an end of sin. When Jesus comes, sin stops. Can you even imagine that? Sin stops. Just even in me, sin stops. But all the community, sin stops. Today, true repentance shuts the door to sinful acts. It's not enough just to stop doing wrong. The door must be shut. And so when we repent, when we confess, you look for the door. You have an alertness. Say, Lord, what is the thing that led me there? I need to shut that door so I don't go there again. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Sin brings damage to people and communities. As we excuse a sin, we open the doors to many other sins. Today, it's not enough to stop. We must restore people. This is the work of Jesus at Calvary, restoration, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Who else can restore people? Only God. Who does God use? God uses you, people. You know, and God is putting in your heart right now, people who need restoring. People who need restoring. And God has put it in your prayer life. Don't shut it out. Don't say another time. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Pray for an opportunity to go and restore. You are repairers. You are the hands of God. To bring in everlasting righteousness. The result of God's correction is fantastic. When we're corrected, we get a taste of the righteousness of God. The world doesn't know what this is like. This is the new world order that comes with the return and the reign of Jesus. To seal up vision, things come to an end. The exile would end. The battering of slavery would end. But also visions and then also prophecy would at last be fulfilled. To seal up prophecy. Prophecy will be fulfilled. It's not there to scare us. It is there so that we see the precision and the omniscience of God. God is precise with his timing, exact with his timing. God is not subservient to time. He created time. And there will come a time when life as we know it ends. Daniel 8, for at the appointed time the end shall be. There will come a time when it's end, end, end. Understand time in terms of days because the sun rises and sets each day. But when God describes the New Jerusalem, there is no sun. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it, the Lamb in its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honour into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. Isn't that? That's going to just be an amazing time. That's just going to be amazing because the light will be the glory of God. We get a taste of worship, but the light will be the glory of God. Wherever you go, the light will be the glory of God. And seventhly, to anoint the most holy. Jerusalem is the most holy site on earth, but now we too are anointed, touched by God. It is a privilege and a blessing that God sets us apart and covers us as our Father. The Lord's Prayer begins with the statement, "Our Father." When Jesus teaches us to pray, it is pray like this, "Our." Not just my Father, "Our Father." You are part of a family, people. "Our Father." Our Father is a huge statement. It links us with family in other countries who we may never ever meet on earth in this time, in this period. Our gifts to persecuted Christians are vitally important. To anoint the most holy is to recognize that the person of God, the people of God, the Son of God, the family of God, the city of God are different from anything else in this world. That is what holy is. Holy is different from everything else that we touch and see. It is anointed. It is holy. Christ, the Messiah, is the anointed one. He is different from any other man that has walked on the earth. Different. Completely different. Unless we are born again, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. People, do you see how privileged and how blessed we are? If we're born again, we see the kingdom of God. We see past the flesh, we see the kingdom of God. Stuff which is invisible to the rest of the world. They can't see it. We see the kingdom of God. God has preordained a plan for Israel, for the church, for Darlington, for all mankind. And we need to surrender our lives to fit into his plan. The prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," is proof of our surrendered hearts. Amen. Amen.
we'll sing together this song of mine that I wrote. And it's, again, I say, and make sure you do it, you all know, the last line, okay? I chose you and love you forever, I chose you and love you forever. And then name a person, name a person, name a person. Evelyn, God chose you and loves you forever. Name a person.
Okay, I'll try and play it in key that you can sing it. This week we lift the prodigals before you, Lord God. We pray for an opportunity, a door to open, Lord God. We pray that they will see the seeds that have been planted and come back to you. We pray for those who are God haters, Lord, in our lives. We pray for doors to be opened so we can speak out the word of the living God to them. Lord, we pray for Putin. We pray for salvation for him. Pray for every vessel that is used to produce evil in this life is smashed. Lord, we pray for the Christians in this world who are persecuted. We pray for your provision. We pray for the opportunity of the gospel to go out. And Lord, we thank you for those who promise that you will never, ever leave us. Forgive us, Lord God, because we have doubted you so often. We have doubted you, but you are a God who has promised to never leave us. Thank you for that. I pray for this congregation, Lord, and I pray for your anointing on them this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.